Welcome to Inside the Mortgage Mind, a Zenix podcast where you'll hear stories from professionals throughout the industry, from new LOs to CEOs, about their journey to achieving success. We hope these stories inspire and energize you to take your business to the next level.
James, I think it's been almost a year since our last interview.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all going through some unprecedented times, right? The new normal, et cetera.
Right.
But I just want to see here, what's been going on over the past year that has, I'm going to say, impacted your culture and, or elevated it in a positive way?
Well, I believe that culture is probably, culture is or probably is most the most important asset of your company. You know, you can focus on strategy, but culture can eat strategy for breakfast if you don't have that. So I think the dynamic that we've had is how do you maintain that connection with each one of your team members while they are in a very fluid state, whether they work from home or whether they're coming in the office or that hybrid model. At the end of last year, we kind of pulled our team members and we asked them, you know, what would be your preference? And it was interesting. We had about 20% that wanted to return to work. And we kind of kept that open, but those are our employees that are single, you know, that are home all by themselves and they need some companionship, some camaraderie. Yeah. So they're willing to make the commute. They're willing to be in the office every single day and for their productivity. And I think for their emotional resiliency. Mm-hmm. And then you have about 20% of our, and I could just only go off of us, that said, I'm more effective home. I could work. I could be a mother. I could be a father. I could be a spouse. I could work all hours. And so then you have about 60% of a swath of our organization has said, we want some sort of hybrid model. We like the connection. We like coming in, but we also want the flexibility that if I need to work from home, I will. And so we delegated really to each of our managers, SLAs. They meet the SLAs and they can manage their teams as they see fit. Mm. And so we've done a lot to connect. We've done a lot of national town hall meetings. We've done a lot of we've leveraged technology to meet our team members where they're at, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've tried to over-communicate. We've tried to be in front of the issues. But every employee, every team member is in a different place, you know, that COVID's brought them. And so rather than have them come to us, we've tried to meet them where they're at.
So what was your choice among that selection?
You know what? I believe that the captain has to go down to the ship and be with the ship. So I've been in every single day.
Every single day. God bless you.
Even with when COVID happened, I mean, we have a building that has about a 600 employee capacity, and there's probably between 8 to 20. And I was one of those. So it was like a library, you know. You'd come in and you sit down and you talk to people and you connect with people over Zoom or Teams. But, you know, so I'm one in which I just believe I need to be here for the morale, for the leadership, so the people see that I'm present and that we're navigating through these issues together.
Excellent. So with the new era that we're all entering in the industry, yep. There's a lot of challenges that I'm seeing from inventory shortage to right now managing the normalization of volume. How are you looking at the future of the mortgage industry right now?
Well, never waste a crisis. Leverage an opportunity to change behavior.
Sure.
And so for us, as we've used this opportunity to really kind of see what can we get ahead. And so there's some core beliefs that we fundamentally hold to. And first and foremost is that we believe that the loan officer is the future. And that's contrary to a lot of our peers, that they want to go directly to the consumer. And I believe that there's a place for that. But we are purchase driven. We're focused on new home builds and just purchase transactions. So with that, our focus is elevating the loan officer through technology and helping them to do more while working less. And so that's the very first thing. The second thing is our focus is purchase business. And yet there is a shortage. We have inflation. There's a supply chain shortage. But the demand for homes, I think, for the next 5 to 7 years is unprecedented. I was recently in a meeting in which they said that this past decade was the slowest home build since 1960. And so I believe the demand is going to be there. So purchase is always going to be there. So how do you get in front of purchase? We think the other last thing is enhancing the user X experience. Yeah. It is really focusing on drilling down, elevating the loan officer, allowing them to be that consultant, maybe changing the way that they do loans. They don't necessarily have to go through all the guidelines. They don't have to go through, the conditions. We could probably automate that using AI and doing certain things to simplify the loan process. But to give them an exceptional experience that brands the loan officer and solidifies them for many years to come.
So today, as you look to the future, are you building new loan officers or are you just helping to elevate the current ones you currently
both.
Have?
Both.
You do both?
Yep. You have to have new blood. If you don't grow, you die. Yes. But we're seeing, but I think there's a model for it. It's more of an apprenticeship. It's more of a mentorship. You have a really good loan officer team and the new talent coming in is more successful if they shadow underneath a team setting. Sure. Whether they're a processor or a loan officer assistant or a junior LO, at least for them to have a year or two experience before they spread their wings and fly. And so we try to, now you have about 20% from our experience that can just come right in, get their LO testing, take off and running. But really, I would say, 4 out of 5 need some sort of mentorship or some sort of apprenticeship under someone seasoned in this industry.
I couldn't agree more. I think that the mentorship is underutilized, the apprenticeship, if you will, giving people a chance to learn from those that are so seasoned. I've been doing it a while, and some things you can teach and some things you actually see and watch and observe and be part of it. So I applaud you on that and your diverse approach. So I'm in a position in my life where I'm watching and having the privilege of having friends that are leaders like yourself. We all have a story of how we got where we are. Is there a chance you would share with me today your story? How did you get into the role? Because you run a significant organization.
I can't take any credit. I've been blessed with opportunity and I've been blessed with wonderful people I've surrounded myself with. So I can't take any credit to where I am today. There's a saying in which, we grow on the shoulders of the people that go before us. Yeah. And so I can contribute a lot to those people who mentored me along the way. Those people gave me opportunities and, and every opportunity, every door that was open, I used it to the best of my ability, but I didn't do it, Casey, for the accolades or for the title. I did it just to make an impact. And so where I am today, I can't contribute it to me. It's all the people who've, it's a grand tapestry of life. And there's so many threads that have helped me be here.
Did you see yourself in a leadership role early on in life?
We form our vision as we grow. When you're in college, you're trying to decide your major, trying to find your path. What I did know is this, is I wanted to be in a profession in which I served others. So you explore medicine, you explore legal, but, then I found, I loved mortgages because it was the dream of sustainable home ownership. It's the one thing in which you can not only bless a family and put them from in, take a house and make it a home, but it's multi-generational. I mean, studies show that you put a family into a home and their children, their ability to succeed in life, increases dramatically. So it's a multi-generational impact for the unit of the family. And I think that the family is the core unit of society. And so if we can elevate families, we elevate society as a whole. So I found that passion because, you knew you were making an impact, not just in my couple, but for their children and their children's children. From a leadership aspect, I didn't really have an appetite to be in a huge corporation. Working for a GE or for a huge law firm didn't really excite me. So I really jumped out more like, I want to own my own. I want to control my own fate. But just circumstances and events happened that, you know, that gave me this opportunity to be in leadership. And I had an experience yesterday. We have a monthly lunch with the CEO, you know, where we just bring him in. I just listen, we talk. And it gives other department heads an opportunity to meet each other. It just cross-pollinates. So when they're in the live, in the elevator, they meet each other. We talk about random things, and it's just fun. But at the end, one of the persons, I asked if they had any questions. And one of our employees who's over onboarding says, yeah, what would you want us to know as a CEO? That's a broad question.
Very broad.
You know, what I said to them, I'd probably say to anyone else, as I said, I would want you to know that I go to bed every night knowing I have stewardship for 3,000 families, and that every decision I make at this desk involves the well-being and the opportunity for those 3,000 families. That's what I want you to know. And that's, so I feel it at this desk is not, the money follows, the opportunity comes, but it's the stewardship of taking care of those 3,000 team members and their families. That's important to me.
Wow. God bless you. I love that answer. And I'm always, you know, as a CEO of my company, and I go to bed at night, I feel the same way. I could not have articulated it better than you did. That every single time we make a decision, it impacts others. And that's the privilege of leadership. And when you think about all leaders who get the title don't always understand the responsibility.
Right.
And if you can really own that I have the privilege of speaking into someone's life, and I can either build them up or beat them up. And I have the chance and the privilege of building them up and giving them an opportunity to succeed. So how did you originally get into leadership? So you get out of college, do you get in the mortgage business right away?
I did. I just jumped right in, and I actually opened up my own shop. So I just was thrust into it. You know,
wow.
I got into it, and I went down to a place called St. George, Utah, 300 miles away. I had my wife who was pregnant with her third with a U-Haul, and we had $900 to a name, and we opened up, put a sign on the door, and just took off. So I didn't get the process experience. I didn't get the LOA experience, or I got the loan officer, branch manager, originate, grow experience right out of the gate.
Had you met someone in the mortgage business that caused you to want to get in?
You know, while I was going to school, I worked full-time at a credit union. And at that time, I was promoted to oversee kind of all their marketing and their communications. And so I was helping the mortgage department. And after I was actually in poli sci, graduated from the U of poli sci. I was going to go into law. And as I helping them, I will tell you a catalyst that took place in our life was September 11th. Mm-hmm. It did change the way we thought. It changed us. We had two kids, and we're like, well, before that time, we're like, okay, get your MBA, you know, try to, you know, build your own company, mm-hmm. or go and get your law degree and just do the normal. And when that hit, we just stepped back and we're like, okay, we could do this, go into debt, and then 10, 15 years, get out of debt, and then go do our own thing, or we just go do our own thing right now. And so Janessa, my wife, said, I want to live in St. George, Utah, because she loved the Red Rock. She loved the heat. She wanted to raise her family in a small town. And so we looked, and we couldn't find anything to, I mean, we looked at franchises. We looked at, you know, and it wasn't sustainable. So I had the craziest idea. I started to dig into the mortgage department and self-teach myself. And then I went out and I got investors, and I opened up my own shop, and I went down there and just took off from there. So I actually leveraged mortgages to be at a place to raise our family. And it just took off from there.
And seven kids later, CEO of Academy. Who has mentored you in leadership and for you to have that I'm going to say that that inherent blessing of how you think every night.
Oh, I would say there's so many people. You know, obviously you have your father and your father-in-law. You have Adam Kessler, who's been instrumental. When I sold my little shop to Bank of America, Kevin Haycock was a regional. And so you take the really good from everyone and realize no one's perfect. And you take the inherent good of, I'll take this from this person, this from this person, and I'll just add upon it. I'll just add it to that. So I went back and I got my degree in executive leadership at Georgetown. Mm. So I got a master's in executive leadership right there when I was in my late 30s, early 40s, just no reason, but just to be a better leader. And I think that you have to sharpen your skill set every day. You can't just think that it's a place of arrival. It's something that you seek to attain, but you never do.
Sure. God bless. So if, when you're hiring someone right now, what are the top three qualities you want in a leader?
Well, that's a good thing. A good question, because before COVID, we did not have core convictions in our organization. We understood our vision. We understood our core strategies. We understood our mission, but we didn't have core convictions. And really our question is, you know, we need to call out, what do we value? We value our culture. And what is our culture? It's our core convictions. So we had a very long debate with our executives. If we're going to grow and we're going to scale, we want to preserve our culture, then we got to call out our core convictions. And so our core convictions, we identified in the acronym of Courage to Rise. And first, we look for people who are courageous, that are willing to step outside their box and be uncomfortable, because that's all what sales is and what leadership is and everything. Sure. Two, the R stands for being resilient. This is an industry in which you have to be resilient through the cycles. Mm-hmm. The next one, I stands for integrity. We look for people who have integrity, that, you know, it's not, they're not only just accountable for their decisions, they're accountable for their behavior. Mm. The S we look for is people who are selfless. You know, there's this we before me mentality, and it's not about titles or accolades, but it's really about helping people. And then the E is for empathy. You know, that we live kindness. At the end of the day, if you're going to err on mercy, err on kindness, and that we believe in learning from each other's differences through empathy. So we look for people today. We've instilled it. In fact, I've got a card right here, and we sent it to every employee. That's our core convictions on the back. It's our Courage to Rise. Mm. And we just, you know, and it gives our leaders the authority to coach. Hey, was that integritable? Hey, was that really selfless? Hey, you know what? You're complaining right now. You're really being resilient. You know, show us a solution. You know, it gives our leaders the ability to coach on authority, because that's who we are. And so we're trying to hire to that. We're trying to look for people who exemplify those traits so that we can preserve our culture. So that's what we look for in people that we hire.
Wow. Outstanding. So when you think about your salespeople today, so we'll end with this question, because I think there's so much wisdom that you have shared already. The salespeople, knowing that times change, things shift, that's the nature of our industry. What's the most important advice that you are sharing with your salespeople today to help capture the future?
Our best days are yet to come. That's what I'm telling. And that our mission, I mean, really, our mission is that we create life-changing experiences through lending. That's what we do. If you really want to inspire hope, if you really want to deliver dreams and build prosperity, which is our vision, then you've got to be at the forefront of being a catalyst of change and creating life-changing experiences through lending. And that's just not helping them get a loan. It's changing their life in the process of them getting a loan. It's changing your employees. It's teaching them how to service. You are in an industry that you can change lives. And just use lending as a platform, but there's so much more to it.
I could not agree more. I think that the fact that we, I'm going to say me and you and all salespeople, are in an industry where we get to influence lives in a way that is the most beautiful moment beyond having a child, getting married, having a child, getting buying a home, as you said, you're leaving a legacy and a multi-generational impact. And so right. I have, you know, during the time of volume, I used to say, you know, files, no longer files, it's all automated, but we started thinking those people, there's a story, but we forget. And if people could stay really grounded about the excitement we had when we first got in the mortgage business and that first loan we closed and the first time you saw the keys got handed to that purchaser and they're crying and that emotional moment, if we could really stay grounded of the impact that you're having on every person's life, it'll keep you motivated to continue to do more, to impact more. But I love how you just said, the best is yet to come.
It is. It really is.
Well, I have to ask one more question before we hang up because I'm dying to hear. Just in this, if I was from the outside looking into Academy and you had to describe your culture, how would you describe it?
I would describe it basically right back to where we started, is that we're an organization that inspires, delivers, and builds prosperity. Mm-hmm. We believe in creating life-changing experiences through lending. And how we do that is being courageous, it's being resilient, it's having integrity, it's being selfless, and it's exemplifying empathy in all that we do.
What a beautiful way to end.
Well, thank you.
Anybody listening in now has a great view of who Academy Mortgage is and what great leaders look like.
Yeah, we have great leaders here. Thank you, Casey. Merry Christmas to you and
Merry
your family.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Always so good to talk to you.
All seven kids going to be in the house?
All seven kids. We're going to have a great time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so from 10 years old to 22?
Yep.
All right. Your wife's got a full plate. And I'm always curious about how a daughter among six brothers, right? Six brothers and one daughter.
Yeah.
How she survives among them. And what happens when she brings a guy home?
Well, I'll tell you this much on the flip side is she's realized that I could choose six sisters. And so she's already identified, and the two older brothers are actually seriously dating girls that she picked.
No.
So that's the secret.
Has she brought a guy home yet to all the brothers?
No, not yet.
That's gonna a different be a fun story. Day.
Yeah, that will be.
That'll be quite the story. Well, let me just say Merry Christmas and thanks for your time. And what a blessing.
All right. Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it. Take care.
Take care, James. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check back for new episodes of Inside the Mortgage Mind, a podcast by Zenix, the Mortgage Academy. You can download our episodes wherever you love to listen to podcasts or on our website at zenix.com/insidethemortgagemind.